Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in.
Our first reading is from Hosea, the fourth chapter. Hear the word of the Lord, O people of Israel. For the Lord has an indictment against the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness or loyalty, and no knowledge of God in the land. Swearing, lying, and murder, and stealing and adultery break out. Bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land mourns, and all who live in it languish, together with the wild animals and the birds of the air, even the fish of the sea are perishing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, there will be signs in the sun, the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. The gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. It's the fall of 1998. I'm a student in Mrs. Miller's kindergarten class, where we are learning the basics, our ABCs and our 1-2-3s. My main concerns in life at this point are making sure I catch the latest episode of Barney, learning how to ride my bike without training wheels, and coloring inside the lines. And then one day, my entire class is posed this question. What do you want to be when you grow up? Now, to me, this seemed like a bit of a leap. We were still struggling to spell our names, read basic sentences, identify what comes next in an AB-AB pattern. We were a group of 5- and 6-year-olds. And yet there they were, the adults, already asking us about our dream jobs. Now my peers seemed to be totally okay with this question. They wanted to be doctors, lawyers, and astronauts. I, however, was so confused and anxious. We just got here. We were brand new to this entire enterprise of public education. Being a doctor sounded great, but I was not ready for that. You see, I was under the mistaken impression that we were being fast-tracked into our dream careers. I was going to write something down, graduate kindergarten in a few months, and then be expected to enter the workforce or go to medical or law school. I vividly remember that feeling of panic wash over me when this question was first asked. I just wasn't ready. So I thought long and hard about what little life experience I did have, and I wrote down gardener. I had dug around in the dirt before. Worms never bothered me. I liked playing outside, and I was pretty sure this wouldn't require a jump from kindergarten to graduate school. Of course, I eventually figured out that no, we were not being fast-tracked. I would indeed get the full K through 12 experience. I've also since learned that gardening is quite challenging and not easy simply by virtue of it not requiring graduate school. And somewhere along the way, I discerned a call to ministry, which after a few twists and turns led me here to First Presbyterian Church in Champaign, where I serve as a Sunday school coordinator, and Carl Hospital in Urbana, where I serve as a chaplain. While I did not pursue gardening professionally, it is a hobby of mine, a source of joy, and it has been my faith that most persistently sends me back outside. Just consider this morning's scripture passages, from the Psalm to Hosea to the Gospel of Luke. God consistently turns our attention to the rest of creation, to the land, to the wild animals, birds of the air and fish of the sea, to the sun, moon, and stars, the clouds, the trees. And we learn immediately that God's creation is active and engaged. It is living and it is making noise. The sea roars, the floods clap their hands, the hills sing together for joy. But also, the land mourns. The animals, the birds of the air, and even the fish of the sea are perishing. And the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, the fig tree, and all the trees are teaching. They are alerting us to the inbreaking of God's kingdom. What then is our role in the midst of this languishing creation, so desperately in need of God's kingdom to fully break in and take root? Some of us may be gardeners, professional or otherwise, but all of us, I think, are called to be chaplains to the earth. Now, if you're anything like I was back in kindergarten, you may be panicking and thinking, a chaplain? I have not been formally trained to be a chaplain. I am neither ordained nor board certified. I am not ready to serve as a chaplain. Or perhaps, like many patients and their families think when I first introduce myself to them as a chaplain, you may be wondering, a chaplain? Chaplains represent bad news. They only come in at the end to bear the bad news of loss. And while we are often present in times of tragedy and loss, the work of a chaplain is more complex than that. And two aspects of chaplaincy come to mind as relevant to our relationship with creation. As a chaplain, I listen. I listen to stories, perhaps told by loved ones, as they sit around a person's bedside, present for their final moments. Perhaps told by patients who, after a health scare or new diagnosis, are feeling reflective. I listen to emotions, sometimes expressed with words, sometimes laughter, sometimes tears. I listen to needs. Some needs I can address immediately, like finding a patient's nurse, getting someone water, or leading us in prayer. And others I can't address at all, at least not by myself. And if I'm really, truly, actively listening, I will have no choice but to advocate. Some of this advocacy will take place within the hospital as I observe needs and advocate for certain solutions. But a lot of this advocacy will take place outside the hospital when I'm not clocked in or formally working as a hospital chaplain. When you listen, when you really listen to all those stories, all those emotions, and all those needs, well, it's only natural, I think, to broaden your sense of your role to include the work of advocacy and organizing, the work of strengthening our community so that people are no longer forced to tell those stories of scarcity and injustice. As a chaplain, I listen, I advocate. At least, that's what I strive to do. So in a professional sense, we may not all be called to serve as chaplains. but in the sense that we are instructed or commanded to listen throughout the Bible. In the sense that God created us to be in loving partnership with and good neighbors to the rest of creation. In the sense that part of what the Lord requires of us, as we learn from the prophet Micah, is to do justice. I believe we are all called to serve as chaplains, chaplains to the earth. We are called to listen to and really notice the roars of the sea, the clapping hands of the floods, the songs sung by joyful hills. We are called to listen to and really notice the land as it mourns, the animals, birds, and fish as they perish. We are called to listen to and really notice the sun, the moon, the stars, the clouds, and trees as they reveal for us the inbreaking of God's kingdom. We are called to listen to and really notice those prophets of then and now who are pointing out to us with increasing urgency how creation is suffering. Hosea's work as a prophet began in the final days of a king whose reign had established both stability and prosperity in the northern kingdom, two things that would soon be lost amid a national crisis brought about by the ruthless expansion of a neighboring power. During that crisis, as Hosea laments and critiques, God's people turn away and look elsewhere for support and guidance. God's people, warns Hosea, are on a path to destruction. While we live in a different time and place, the laments and critiques offered by Hosea can most certainly speak to us now. We've known for some time that we too are experiencing a crisis, a climate crisis, a crisis of environmental injustice, in which racist and classist policies mean our Black, brown, indigenous, and poor neighbors are disproportionately affected by climate change, air pollution, water contamination, and so on. And we know, thanks to the prophet Hosea, that the best thing we can do in a time like this is return to God. If we turn to God and hear God's word, we will be reminded to listen to our neighbors as they share their struggles, to listen to the land as it mourns, and to listen to God's call to care for this earth and all its inhabitants. If we turn to God and we hear God's word, we will be reminded to build relationships with one another and with all of creation. And it's within that web of relationships where we will find our collective power, power that we share, the kind of power we need to confront things like corporate greed and unjust policies. If we turn to God and hear God's word, we will be reminded to seek justice, to challenge and change existing systems and structures to reflect the abundant love and grace of God. This is all easier said or preached than done, of course. This crisis is so vast that some have deemed it irreversible, insurmountable. The bleak vision offered by Hosea may have felt similar. Irreversible, insurmountable, failure, inevitable. But this prophetic tradition, of which Hosea is a part, offers us also the gift of hope and the promise of redemption, alongside judgment and these realistic, even if painful, assessments of the world as it is. We are reminded of the world as it should and will be. We are reminded of God's love and grace. We are reminded that God is always at work through and around us. In this Easter season especially, we know that death and destruction do not have the final word. We are a resurrection people, and it is Jesus himself who instructs us to look at the fig tree and all the trees for a physical reminder of these promises. As soon as they sprout leaves, says Jesus, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. And so it is with the inbreaking of God's kingdom. There will be signs, there will be change. There will be love, grace, and justice. When you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near, Jesus concludes. The kingdom of God is near. I see signs of that kingdom in the leaves that are sprouting now on trees in my backyard and in the flowers that are just beginning to bloom. I hear signs of that kingdom in the cries of protesters, many of them children and youth, who are gathering together and calling for real solutions to climate change and environmental injustice. I see signs of that kingdom here in the service and justice and mission work of this congregation. I hear signs of that kingdom in the wonderings, insights, and hopes of our children and youth in Sunday school. The kingdom of God is near, and we are called to serve it as chaplains, chaplains who listen to, build relationships with, and advocate for all of creation. What will it look like this week for you to serve as a chaplain to the earth, and the next week, and the week after? When will you make time to really listen to creation? What will you hear? Will you hear its joy? Will you hear its pain? Will you hear God calling to you through creation? And after you've listened, after you've observed both the promise and the pain of creation, what will you do to advocate on its behalf? Whatever you choose to do this week and in the weeks to come, whatever it looks like for you to listen and advocate, I pray that you will find hope in the signs of God's emerging kingdom and inspiration to help that kingdom take root. On this Earth Sunday, amid an ongoing crisis of climate change and environmental injustice, as this long season of pandemic continues, may we hear the word of the Lord. May we look for the signs of God's kingdom, and may we all be chaplains to the trees, to the clouds, to the sun, moon, and stars, to the wild animals, birds of the air, and fish of the sea, to the land. No matter the career we have pursued or will pursue, may we all serve as chaplains to the earth.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.